Oh, you want it?
Yeah, a little bit. Awesome. Thanks. Good evening. Not fall. So obviously I'm not Rob. That's because Rob is still on vacation, and I'm certainly glad that as a community that we support that, and we're excited that he can get away and rejuvenate and come back to us. You know, we're pretty fortunate to have him as our main teaching pastor. You guys realize this, yes? I mean, the caliber, it's true. I mean, he deserves that because he does a lot of studying. He pays a lot of attention to what's going on in our culture, and he reads a lot, and he, man, he's just good. And so then when we have to get up here and try to follow him, it's always a kind of a pain in the neck. I can't even figure out how this mic works, let alone, you know, how to do any of this other stuff that he does because he's so rad at it. So, you know, but this is the first time I've spoken on a Wednesday, and it's also my first opportunity to kind of speak the next chapter, like speak on the next chapter. Usually just has me speak topically, which is easier for me. It's also, you know, I can't mess up any of his gig either, right? Because he's going right through the Bible verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But we find ourselves in Proverbs 12. So if you have your Bible, please go ahead and turn to Proverbs 12 with me. Yeah, I think Rob's kind of playing a joke on me with Proverbs 12. If you know where we're at in Proverbs right now, it's like just these, every verse is a complete thought. So we'll read verse 1, and it just says exactly what it says, and it's exactly, none of you aren't going to understand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like parables or metaphor or anything like that. It's just straightforward. And then I have to say, don't be a jerk. And then I'm going to say, you shouldn't be a jerk. That's how I can expound on that. So forgive me if this is 20 minutes long. We're all going to get home a little earlier, get our ice cream on or whatever happens in your home in the evening. Usually for me, it's giving baths and, you know, whatever two-year-olds need at that age. I don't take baths. I don't bathe or anything. Never mind. Okay, let's move on. So what I'm going to kind of do is jump in. I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to kind of give you my sort of take on it. Thank God there has been other pastors and people far more intelligent than I that have done this already, so I can go back and look at what they talked about. Because really, this is a little bit more difficult than the average sermon on love or something. So, but let's start with verse 1. We're reading out of the ESV, and this is how it begins. It says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." That's what it says in the ESV. And so what I did when I first read that, I mean, that was the first thing I read when I started, you know, taking notes and thinking about the talk. And I was like, holy crud, that's in the Bible. Like, just calling dudes out, you know? What's up, fool? You're stupid, you know? And I thought, okay, well, and so that I just kept reading. And then there kept being all these words in there that were words that we use in daily language, kind of, like we all know what they mean, but I didn't necessarily even know the definitions of them. And so what I did was, even the word stupid, so I thought, okay, well, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Man, that makes a good bumper sticker, Lord. Good job on that one. But he who hates reproof is stupid. I don't like being reproofed. Do you? I'm stupid. No! So I looked this stuff up, right? Okay, so stupid means lacking keenness of mind, right? Reproof. So reproof means being held accountable, someone calling you out if you do something wrong. This thing is just going to drive me insane the whole time. Okay. As I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, Lord, well, I'm stupid. We've got that established. But what does that mean? And the more I thought about it, you know, it's true. If there's somebody out there, and including myself sometimes, who, man, I don't want to hear it from anybody. I don't want you to tell me that I've offended you with my words or if I've hurt your feelings. I don't want to hear that. I just want everybody to go, Dustin, you're awesome. That's all I want everybody to say, you know, because I'm just a human. So if I get called out for doing something or saying something I shouldn't, man, that hurts, and I don't want to be reproved. But it's not necessarily that you know, it's, you're not going to just walk around with a t-shirt that says, reproof me, everyone, just tell me all the stuff I do wrong. But when it happens in our lives, when we're called out on something, you know, let's take that from our brothers and sisters in Christ and like chew on it. Yeah, maybe at first we're going to get offended. Maybe at first it's going to hurt our feelings. We're going to be uncomfortable. When my son gets really uncomfortable, when he gets mad about something, he pulls his shirt down. Like he just stretches it out. Like I don't know why he does it, but he just does this thing. And so don't do that, because then you're obviously uncomfortable. But, you know, just stand there and kind of take it. And yeah, you're probably not going to like it very much, but walk away and chew on it, right? And that's what I'm learning from this. I'm going to say, okay, God, if somebody comes up to me, a brother and sister in Christ who I know loves you, and they say, Dustin, man, when you did that thing, man, it hurt me or whatever, I'm going to take that reproof and I'm going to chew on it and I'm going to learn from it. This happened to me. I was a youth pastor in Ohio at a United Methodist church for a while. And I had a girl that was in our leadership, and she went off to college or whatever and came back and helped out with a camp. And you know, I'm pretty good at teasing. I'm a pretty good teaser. You know, I could tease kids with the best of them. And she actually brought her Bible bookmarked with like 7 bookmarks. And she's like, Dustin, I need to talk to you. And it was, you know, I already respected her. I thought she was very sweet. And so I said, great, let's talk. What do you want to talk about? And then she just goes to the first, she doesn't even say, like, this is what I want to talk about. She just reads the first scripture and goes, you know, when you do this, you're not really doing what the Bible says. And then she goes to the next one and the next one. And I'm the youth pastor in this big church in this big office. I have a huge desk between us, you know, this big like presidential desk. I just wanted to flip it over, and you know, at first it really hurt my feelings. But after I thought about it for a while, I said, you know what, that girl's absolutely right, and God is using her to call me out, to chisel away the chaff, to burn it off me, because you know what, I'm not perfect. I'm just like everybody else. I can't. You know, I've made this mistake. I've hurt someone's feelings, and it's time to me to take that reproof, to chew on it, and to get better for Jesus so that I'm a better reflection of who Christ is to other people who don't know him, right? That's the whole gig here. So that's verse 1. Stupid. All right. Not the verse. The word is in the verse. Okay. So verse 2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of evil devices, he condemns. Keep going. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. So this goes both ways, I think, you know? A husband can be the crown, you know, of a wife's, it could be the jewel in the wife's crown. But you know, he's going to bring her shame too if he's a punk, right? Women are beautiful and wonderful and awesome, especially my wife, who today is our 9th anniversary. And she's the jewel in my crown. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, if you're like, hey, let's hang out with Dustin and Leah, it's like, oh, Leah's not going to be there. Okay, still invite Dustin. When it's like, is Dustin Lee? Oh, Leah's going to be there, great. And, you know, she's awesome and she's beautiful. And I know I'm lucky because I married up, you know, on the food chain there. She's awesome. And she is, you know, to me, that jewel in my crown. She is, if you knew my story, you know how I came up and grew up. You know, I wasn't supposed to end up with a girl like that. I wasn't even supposed to end up outside of prison doors or walls or bars. And yet somehow I've been spared, and God blessed me, and I thank him so much that 10 years ago now, this pretty girl got up on stage at the church I was a youth pastor in Seattle and sang some songs, and I went, that girl's cute. I'm going to talk to her after the service. Promise her a record deal. And then someday she'll marry me. Totally worked. No record deal, but you got the husband. Sorry, my bad. I didn't have a record company, so what am I supposed to do? Anyway, so she is, you know, and guys don't, I mean, I think it's, you know, sometimes we take them for granted. You know, you come home from work, And they, you know, at least my wife, you know, tonight I came home from work and we had dinner ready. She knew that I had to come, you know, I was supposed to be doing this. And so she didn't want me to be stressed. So she made sure it was ready on time and that our son was ready and that, you know, and, you know, sometimes I let those things fly by my mind like it's just supposed to be how it is, you know. Well, I work outside of the home. She works inside the home. So that's part of her job, you know. But it's not. I mean, it is, but it's not bad to be grateful, to be gracious, to tell her how much I love her and appreciate her. She's about to have our second kid. That can't be comfortable. So, you know, appreciative, you know. And sometimes we get into life and the way life just kind of takes over, you know. Like all of a sudden, you know, where did 8 hours, you know, you go to work for 8 hours and now it's like it's gone already. And, you know, you could get so much more done when you were younger, seemed like, you know. And so... Just not taking each other for granted, but loving each other as Christ loves us, and really cherishing women, you know, our women and our wives. And so I think that's pretty cool. Let's move on here. Verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Pretty self-explanatory. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. Man, people thrive on drama, right? And if you don't believe me, just watch 15 minutes of any reality television show on any network, on any station. I mean, that's all that they show. They cut it. The producers of reality television purposefully cut it where this person said this thing and then that, oh, no, she didn't. And then there's some dramatic thing that happens and then this girl took this girl's boyfriend, and all of a sudden it's like this big drama fest, right? And that, because that's what we thrive on. We go, oh, you know, I mean, if it was just, what if like a reality TV show was like Real World or something like that was like just like boring? I mean, no one would watch it, right? I mean, if they just went, oh, they went to work and they were responsible, no one got drunk this week and punched out a waiter, well, great. And they all went to church on Sunday and then they babysat some sheep. I don't even know. But I mean, like what, like, I know you don't babysit sheep. That would be a shepherd, I think. But I'm up here and you're not, so don't worry about it. No, but I mean, think about it. Like if that was the show that we watched, it would be so boring. It would get no ratings. It would have no sponsors and it would go off the air. It'd be boring. And so we thrive on this. And that's what this verse is talking about. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. Man, people just want to be gossipy and they want that drama and it gives us like a physical reaction. You know, we get adrenaline rushes at the water cooler at work. Did you hear what Samantha did? She stole all of the paper clips out of the closet. No, she didn't. We better call security and make sure they're watching. I don't even know. I don't know what kind of drama you have at your work, but there's... We love this thing, and we can't wait for somebody to mess up so that we can pounce like a lion and tear them apart. And that's not what we're called to do as Christians. Bible says that we're set apart, that we were bought with a price, and that price is the blood of our King. And if that's really true, if we're supposed to be different, then we can't be like these people who just wait for somebody to slip, just looking around. Ooh. When's that person going to mess up so that I can tell the boss so that maybe I'll get their position? Maybe I'll get their corner office. Maybe I'll get over where I, you know, on them and I'll get a better deal out of, you know, better situation here at work or whatever, you know. My business partner is got this neighbor who, he's very social fella. He's a lot of people, oh, you don't hear that word fella a lot either. I'm trying to bring words back. I want everybody to start saying tubular as much as possible. So, like, that means if something's cool, like, you're going, oh, that's tubular. So just try that if you get a chance. Your kids will love it. They won't at all, but I'm trying to bring it back anyway. So anyway, he's a very social guy, and his people are at his house all the time. And one day he notices in his neighbor's yard a sign that says no parking. And, I mean, their yards are very close to each other. And at first he came into work and he said, I just want to kick the sign over and like put leaves all over it. And then I was going to have my own sign that says extra parking with an arrow on her yard. And if that was his first initial reaction, which of course it is, right? Like we want to get back. We don't want to care about our neighbor. But after a while, he kind of came to his senses and you know, I pray that the Lord work on his heart, and I think that he is. And so I guess there was a storm, and the sign fell over. So he went over to her yard, and he put it back in. He, you know, got his hammer out and put it back into the ground. And so I thought that was kind of cool. And I think that, you know, that's the kind of thing, like just not sitting and wait for that, for the bad thing to happen so that you can pounce, you know. And that's hard for some of us. Some of us don't care. I'm so tired half the time that bad things happen. I'm just like, really? I got to deal with this now? Okay. You know, but I mean, but for some people, that's kind of their Achilles heel. That's kind of their thorn. It's one of their things that they kind of thrive on. And if that's you, you know, just be thinking about that, the gossip, and just waiting to pounce. But the mouth of the upright delivers them. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Man, that word wicked, that's another one of those words, right? We had stupid, and now we have wicked. Man, like, I don't want to be wicked. I mean, I hear that word, and I read in the scriptures. I know that's there's the negative association with that. And I you know, I do want to be righteous. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, you know, if other people thought you were, like, looked at you and said, ah, that's a righteous man, that's a righteous woman. I mean, who doesn't want that? You know, I want that. And right here, you know, in verse, where are we? In verse 7, it says the wicked are overthrown and no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. I want that. I want my house to stand because of the righteousness that is in me, that is Jesus, you know? I want my neighbors to know that they can come and stop by the house if they need something, if they need assistance or help or, you know, whatever. One of the things that I've always kind of aspired to, I guess, since I became a Christian, was to take the name, the last name Bryson, and make it so that someday when my son walks down the street, anywhere we are, people go, oh, that's a Bryson. And immediately there's a connotation of trust and integrity and honor. It's been something that's been on my heart, you know, my whole life. And if you don't know my story, like, I just met my dad like 4 months ago, and it's a whole mess, but you know, I'm trying to break that cycle where we've got this family, you know, I've got a son and a little girl, and when people see them, when they meet them, I want them to be there to be positive thoughts that go along with our last name. And I want people to know that, oh, if I need help, I can talk to a Bryce, and I can ask them for assistance. And I want them to know that we love Jesus, and I want them to know why that we have integrity and honor. And I'm not saying that I always do. I mean, it's something I work on, you know, every day. But that's something that I want. I want to be righteous. That's what we're called to. Verse 8 says, a man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. I grew up in a neighborhood where appearance was very important. It was a rougher neighborhood, and you know, the way that you were perceived by others was like gold. It was the currency of the day. And I had friends who would wear, I mean, they would have $100 Nike Air Jordans, and, you know, I mean, they would spend $100 on a pair of shoes, and they would have these jumpsuits, like these sweatsuits, like full Nike Air Jordan sweatsuits, black with red. I mean, they were pretty, I'm not going to lie. I mean, they looked good, right? But there was, you know, there were the guys that were seniors in high school who took the bus everywhere, took the metro, and because they'd rather wear $300 worth of clothes than save up to get a car to be able to, right? And they're the same. Those were the same guys that would drive around in, you know, later on when they got a little bit older. They're the same friends of mine who would drive, you know, Cadillacs, but they would go home to their one-room apartment with like seven guys, right? And it was all about putting on this perception that they were somebody that they weren't. All about putting on this front and these airs, like, look at me, I've got, you know, this gold necklace or whatever, and I'm somebody because look how I dress. I must be important. And the reality, said, you know, is that they were just like all the rest of us. You know, they were just struggling and trying to make it. You know, verse 9 says it's better to have, you know, just to be to be lowly and, you know, just getting by. You know, you might actually have a car that starts every time you get in. That's honorable. That's good. You know, than to be the kind of guy who walks around, you know, all haughty, or a kind of girl who's got all the best fashion and the $900 shoes, high heel shoes, but you know, you don't have you're just putting on airs. It's not worth it. Verse 10. Whoever's righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. I think this is, you know, talking about being kind to the weaker creatures. They're not as intelligent as us. It's really easy to look at an animal and just say, well, you're worthless, and be cruel to them or just disregard them entirely. But, you know, they're God's creatures. God made them, and God loves them, you know? And so for us to, don't laugh just because I don't like our dog. Look, I'm not, my wife's back there laughing. I don't like our dog, so I just ignore it. I know, I learned things too. Look, this verse is bothering me, so now I have to, I guess I got to pet the dog more often. I buy the dog's food, whatever. I'll work on this one. This will be my thing I got to work on, one of the many. But it's true. I mean, those are lesser creatures, and this is also a reference to. That's coming later. Never mind. We'll get to that in a minute. That's not this one. That's not this reference. But it's important, right? Being kind to, and it also applies to anything. I mean, anything weaker than us. If there's people that are weaker than us, you know. Don't be cruel to them. Don't slam them if you get the opportunity. And that goes back to the stuff we've already read. You know, being kind to people, being an encourager and lifting people up is good. Verse 11. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. If you work hard, God will take care of our needs, and you'll be able to take care of the needs of your family. You'll be able to take care of your own needs. If you just play video games all day, you're just going to have sore thumbs. And I think that's if this was being written today, that's what it would say. It'd say, go to work and work hard. Get your paycheck every 2 weeks. Don't just play video games all night, because then you'll just have sore thumbs and a hungry tummy. That's my proverb. There you go. And it's true. I mean, it's very easy to get lazy. I mean, it's very easy to sit and watch, a marathon on television. And sometimes it's good to relax. We're not saying, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about never relaxing. Matter of fact, we're supposed to observe the Sabbath and relax and just spend time in fellowship and with God. So, I mean, that's definitely important. But it's good to work. It's good to get out into the neighborhood. And I know that that's been part of the theme running out throughout Proverbs. I like video games too, but just in moderation, you know. Let's move on. Verse 12. Whoever is wicked covets the spoil of evildoers. Doesn't that sound like a comic book? Like a Batman clip? Whoever is wicked covers the spoil. Covets the spoil of evildoers. But the root of righteousness bears fruit. The root being the system that works in itself into the ground and spreads out. It needs to get water. It needs to get nourishment from the soil. And it needs to get sunshine. The root of righteousness bears fruit. You know, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be fruit bearers, bearers of fruit, right? We're supposed to show the world who we are through that fruit. That's kind of our job. So if we're too busy coveting other people, and you know what? I covet, but sometimes I get annoyed. You know, in the business that I'm in, I see other people who I know are doing some sketchy stuff, or they're just doing things maybe not the way that I think is honorable and integritous. And then they're making it. They're driving new cars. And they've got new buildings, and I'm like, Lord, what's going on right now? I'm trying so hard to just like, I'm like not doing this, this, and this because I don't feel it's right. And, you know, they're doing the opposite, and they're, you know, it seems like they're succeeding. And, sometimes I get frustrated, but I can't covet their evil ways. I can't go, well, let me just go down that path, and I'll be in that same financial position or whatever. I mean, that just takes all of your integrity crumbles it up and throws it out the window. It's like one tiny act of, you know, that's doing one thing that's wrong is going to negate years of doing what's right, you know, in the eyes of other people, especially people that don't know Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, they will jump on you immediately. Oh, you're a hypocrite. You know, the first time, because they're just waiting. Some people are just waiting. Just like we talked about before, they're just waiting, and their evilness, like they want your blood, like they're just, oh, that guy's always, he's always getting me with that Jesus-y stuff. I can't wait. You went 36 and a 35. Oh, you hypocrite, right? They're just waiting for us to make a mistake. And I'm not saying you're not gonna. You're gonna make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. And then it becomes, how do you handle yourself when you made that mistake? I mean, they know that we're going to mess up. We're not superhuman. We're just messed up, broken, wind-up toys like everybody else. But when we do mess up, how do we handle it? Do we just try to push it under the rug and fix it like this, you know? Or do we apologize? Do we go and ask for forgiveness? Because that's hard. I mean, to humble yourself and walk into somebody's office and say, let me shut the door. Look, I need to talk to you, especially somebody who's just waiting for your blood, right? They're just, ah, you know, here they come. You have to humble yourself in that position, go in there and talk to them. But they're going to respect it down the road, I promise you. They're going to see something in you that's different because nobody else is coming in their office apologizing. Other people are just trying to get over just like they are. Sorry, where was I? Anybody know where we were? 13, okay. An evil man is ensnared by the transgressions of his lips, but the righteous escape from trouble. You won't put your foot in your mouth if you have others' best interests at heart, right? If you're constantly looking at how you can uplift another, you're probably not going to put your foot in your mouth. The transgressions of your lips will be few, hopefully, right? I hope the transgressions of my lips are few. I talk too much. I talk too loud. And so often the transgressions of my lips are many. But if we just relax, bring it down a notch, calm down and listen, that's how the righteous escape trouble. Verse 14, from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. And the work of a man's hand comes back to him. Keep going here. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. I have a close friend who I've been friends with my whole life, and since we were 4 years old. And he had a tendency for a long time to drink too much. He would go past, you know, that place that I wished he would go, and man, he would do some dumb stuff. I mean, he would make some big mistakes, like mistakes that involve red and blue flashing lights on top of police cars, and then trying to get in fisticuffs with said police. Really bad, really poor choices. And the way he was acting was right in his own eyes. It's what it says right here. I mean, he thought in those moments that he was doing what, yeah, he was being, I'm not drunk. I, you know, don't pull me over. You know, I'm fine. And there was a time when, you know, they were at some sandwich shop and a guy said something disrespectful to somebody else he was with. And he was going to stand up. He was going to be chivalrous. And, you know, in his mind, that's the right thing to do. Protect my friend. But he was being foolish. He was making bad choices. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. That goes back to what we talked about before. You know, I think it's really important that we listen to each other, that we care about what other people have to say. And, you know, I think that it's really hard to do. I mean, that's what we're talking about. This, it says a wise man. It doesn't say someone who is moderately intelligent. I mean, it says a wise man listens to advice, and that's one of the characteristics that makes someone wise. I mean, if you're looking for wisdom, if that's one of the things that you desire in your life, which, you know, I think it's probably all of us, that's where we're sitting here today, we all want more wisdom, we have to listen to each other's advice. Now, sometimes that advice is incorrect. You know, sometimes that advice is, you know, wonky. And we have this thing inside of us called the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us to figure out what is good advice and what is from God and what is just somebody giving us wonkified information. I don't think that's a word, but here comes another one of those words we were talking about, a word that we know what it means, but it doesn't come up a lot in conversation. Verse 16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. So I looked up vexation, and it essentially means an annoyance. Somebody who's a loudmouth. So somebody who's obnoxious and annoying, when they walk into a room, everybody knows it. It's not, you know, they don't even have to wear the t-shirt or the hat that says, you know, obnoxious across the thing. You just know, like, oh, great, here comes, I don't want to say, I was going to say, here comes Jerry, but there might be a Jerry in here. Great, here comes Bo Cephas. Maybe if I don't make eye contact, he won't come over here, right? That's the guy who's obnoxious, and everybody knows it right when he walks into a room because he just lets the stuff fall out of his mouth. That's just annoying and just, but that's not going to draw anybody into Christ. That's not going to draw anybody next to you, right? People want to be next to the guy who doesn't act that way or the girl who doesn't act like that. And that's our job, right? Again, that's our job, to be a direct reflection of Jesus, or to be totally transparent that all they see is Christ when they see us. That's what we're all like on this journey struggling towards. So don't let your vexation show, but be prudent. And you can ignore those insults. When somebody comes at you when they're lying in wait and they just want to mess with you because you're the Christian and they've just been waiting, you know, it's being able to say, okay, I get this. I know what's happening here. And I'm just going to let this insult pass. It's going to be okay. I'm just going to relax. In through the nose, out through the mouth. I come from a place in a neighborhood, in a town, where you don't let things slide. Because then you get labeled a punk. And once you're labeled a punk, anybody can walk all over you at any time. So this verse for me is like, all right, Lord, like that's what you did. That's what you did when they smacked you in the face and they put the crown of thorns on your head. And you could have called down legions of angels and wiped out these little insignificant twits who were taking your life, and you didn't. You took the insult. You took the smack to the face when they took that staff, baseball bat style, and they hit you repeatedly and said, "Who hit you, King?" You didn't retaliate. And that's not because you were a punk. That's because you were the toughest dude that has ever walked this earth. You were pinned to a tree by your own creation. And at any time, you could have came down and just wrecked shop, but you didn't. That, to me, is tough. That, to me, is being a man. And that's what it says in this verse. Someone who is prudent ignores insults. Because you know what? We used to say this thing as a kid, and you used to say it too. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words may never hurt me. I will tell you, I've had 79 broken bones in my life. And I've never been so wounded as I was by words. I've never been as hurt. And I really have broken those bones, and it was painful. I've broken femurs all the way through. I've got my hand caught in a hydraulic wood splitter, so I know pain. I promise you I do. But words hurt. People calling us names hurts. Bullies picking on us hurts. But the Bible tells us that going above that, knowing who we are children of the King. Say what you got to say. Try to get over on me at work. Bully me at school. It's all good. Because when I'm done with this planet and this skin suit that falls off, I am going to be kicking it with the King. This place is a dump compared to what's going down upstairs. And I get to be a part of that party. Talk about a house party. I mean, God is the ultimate DJ. He is going to be throwing it down. I mean, we think music is beautiful here. what could it sound like in heaven? We think steak tastes really good here. What is like cattle grazing on clouds filet mignon taste like? I can't wait. I'm telling you, DJ, God will DJ the greatest party. He'll have the best mixes. And we'll all like it. You might like country. I hate country. You're going to hear country while I hear Most Def or whatever. So most of you don't know who that is, but that's okay. Because it doesn't matter. But that's what we have here. I don't even know where we were. I just got excited. We're talking about vexation and ignoring jerks. Okay, good. Let's move on. Verse 17. Okay. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest advice or gives honest evidence. But a false witness utters deceit. Utters. It's funny. It's another one of those. That's another one of those funny words. It has multiple meanings. But anyway, you can look that up in the dictionary if you don't know. Verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I just want to talk about this just for a second. This proverb is convicting to my spirit. And I'm going to sit up here and try to be honest with you for a second. Hopefully you won't think less of me. But like I said earlier, when that girl came and talked to me in my office, that was, man, that was at least, what, 8 years ago at least? And I still have a problem with this. I'm still really good at teasing people. I can make fun of these kids in the youth group, and I can just, and everyone will laugh, and it's hilarious. But it could still be hurtful. I don't know. Some of the kids just think they're funny. I'm not making fun of them, but we all tease each other, and they know I love them, but it's one of the things that I'm working on. Reading this has really messed with me because I joke around a lot, and sometimes I take it too far at other people's expense. And this is the thing I've been praying about during this, working on this talk, is just, God, allow me to be someone who encourages and uplifts instead of teases, so that I'm the funny guy, so that all the kids like me because I'm funny. It doesn't matter if I'm funny. What matters is that I'm teaching them about you. And I can get to them way better if I'm just uplifting and encouraging and I'm telling them about you than if I'm the funny guy. And so, you know, I'll admit that to you guys today, that this is what I'm working on. It matters to me. Who doesn't like it when people compliment them? Everybody likes it when they get complimented, say nice things, and encourage. Well, let's be those kinds of people. Let's be encourager and uplifters. Verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Liars eventually get caught. You can only sustain a lie for so long because lies beget lies, right? You tell this lie, and then you forgot exactly how you told it, and then you told it a little bit different next time, and then the next time, then you realize, oh, crud, I told it that wrong way. That was one little detail I changed, and now you got to figure out a way to, like, either reel in that lie and fix it, or, you know, tell the old lie, or tell another lie that kind of combines the two somehow. You know, it gets very complicated. You have to have an Excel spreadsheet to try to keep track of all your lies. And you better study it every day because you're going to get called out eventually. That's just the truth. Like, liars just get caught. But peacemakers enjoy peace. People that tell the truth, people that speak truth, even sometimes if it's difficult to hear, are going to be the people that are known as righteous people. And I don't mean like, oh, that shirt is very ugly on you. Yes, those pants do make your butt look big, right? That's not the kind of truth I'm talking about. I'm talking about truth that is constructive in helping other people in their faith and in their walk, right? Verse 21, no ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are fulfilled with trouble. As I say fulfilled? Filled with trouble. When this world is over, it's the righteous that will see the king. This is about the future. Again, I want to be righteous. That's what I want. And I find so often I'm acting not so righteous. Man, this is a cool like reminder. I could read this verse I could read Proverbs 12 every day, like in the morning, just and be like, okay, righteous. Come on, you chubby Pollock. Just remember this one thing. Just be righteous today. Is that a righteous thought? Is that a righteous action? Is that a righteous turn signal? I could just ask myself this one question every day and still never master it, I'm sure, but it would just be probably good for me. Verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Abomination. It's another cool word. Abominable. Abomination. But those who are faithful, those who act faithfully are his delight. How cool is it that we can delight God? Not like he can handle our presence. No, we can delight him. That's neat to me. Because a lot of times our interactions with him are so kind of one-sided. Have you ever felt that way? I'm talking. He doesn't talk back. You know, like I'm calling out, I'm crying out. And so to know that we can delight God, to me, that is so cool. And sometimes my son, you know, he acts delightful. So, I mean, I understand, right? He delighted me today with a puzzle we were playing and he could count. He's almost three and he's counting the little six and he would show me the six puzzle piece and say, six. I'd be like, that's right. And I was excited. He got himself in his car seat tonight, clipped everything in, and I was so proud of him. Delightful. And then other times, he doesn't act so delightful. Yeah. You know how that works. And that's, you know, but we can delight God. Let's let that be what we strive for, to be people who are delightful to the Lord. What a neat word, delight. The word abomination means intense loathing, kind of the opposite of delightful, right? Have you seen someone, have you ever felt like when someone came into a room, you intensely loathed them? Loathed? Well, they were an abomination to you. I'll tell you that right now. Verse 23, a prudent man or woman conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. There's a movie, it's my second favorite movie, maybe my third favorite movie of all time, called Good Will Hunting. And there's a scene in the movie where Will is sitting he's being counseled by this psychiatrist, whatever he is, guy named Sean, who's Robin Williams' character, and they just sit and stare at each other for an entire hour. It's 60 minutes. And the counselor, Robin Williams' character, is waiting for Will to say something because this is sort of this power play thing, and he's going to make him say something first so he can break through and get him talking. This guy has read all the books in his office. He's gone to college. He's got all this wisdom, and yet he's just going to sit there quiet and wait and listen. Sometimes it's way more intelligent to just listen than to spout off at the mouth, right? Another thing I'm learning from this chapter, these proverbs, you know? I mean, man, I talk too much. Just zip it once in a while, bro, and just listen to what other people have to say because it's important. Pretty cool. Verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. I can raise my hand and say that I've had anxiety in my heart and I have felt a heavy load on my shoulders before. I mean, that's true. And I looked up anxiety in a doctor's journal to see what other symptoms might fit right in here as well. Anxiety causes worry, tension, irritability, headaches, sweating, nausea, I can't read my own handwriting, tiredness, and trembling. I mean, right? I mean, this anxiety is not to be messed with. Right here in verse 25, it says that it will weigh a man's heart down. Well, what brings us anxiety? A million things. Working too much. Bills. 2.5-year-olds. Right? There's some things that can bring us anxiety. But anxiety is partially the way that you look at things too, right? I mean, it's the way that you approach life. If you approach, if I know coming to that door, my 2.5-year-old is going to act like he just had 16 pounds of sugar and he's going to be bouncing off the walls and it's wrestle time, daddy, and I'm going to get down there on the floor and just have fun. I'm going to know that going in so I won't feel anxiety about it, even though I just worked for 10 hours. I'm going to go get it. Let's go wrestle. And if I think that way, if I actually prepare myself, the way that I approach the anxiety is different. So I think that's an interesting thing. Don't let the anxieties of this world weigh you down. Like I said before, there's something so much better going on upstairs. That's what we get to look forward to. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel when you're in the midst of something horrible, some tough situation, it's really hard to go, you know what? That's right, I'm going to heaven someday, brother. When right now, I feel like I'm in hell. Right? Sometimes that's hard. But let's look at this verse, man. Let's give good words to each other. Let's be the uplifter. And let's make each other glad. Verse 26. We're almost done. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I think that people are naturally fond of the upright. It's easy to follow someone who has scruples. It's easy to follow someone who is, you know, they're telling everybody how awesome they are. Hey, that's a great yellow shirt. Nice. You want to be friends with that guy, right? You want to be friends with the guy that's like, dude, you play guitar up here. It's amazing. You didn't fall asleep during my talk. I love you. You know, your hair looks great today. You rock, right? That's that person who is uplifting and righteous, trying to help you get through your day. The neighbor who always helps out, the guy who's going to let you, you know, mow your lawn when you're out of town or get your mail or whatever. But the wicked, the ways of the wicked lead him astray. Pretty self-explanatory. 27, whoever is slothful will not roast his game. No, he will not. But the diligent man will get precious wealth. So the slothful man won't even care for his own family. He'll go halfway with the job. He'll go out and hunt the game. He'll make the kill, but then he won't even have the integrity and honor and just oomph, I don't know if that's a word, but to finish the job and to cook it up and to roast it. This is that reference I was talking about earlier. This also is a reference to hunting just for sport. I mean, the Bible is telling us that we, you know, if we're going to hunt, let's use the meat that we cook. Let's care about this planet. Let's care about the animals that we've, you know, taken from the earth, and let's cook them up because they are yummy. Doesn't say that in my version. I think that's in the Message. And then verse 28, our last verse, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. And this again is a reference to eternal life. Jesus said in John 11:26 that he who lives and believes in me shall never die. What? Awesome. Sign me up for that plan. That's a good insurance policy right there. However,
that's God telling me I'm done. However, that's not what this is about. This skin suit that we have will die. And like I said before, our new digs are going to have bells and whistles that we never, ever dreamed of. I'm going to have the internet and an iPhone in my head. That's what I want. That's what I want when I get to heaven. I don't know if that's going to be an option, but if it is, I'm signing up for that one. We have so much more to look forward to than just what is here. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we're out and about, let's, we see each other at Taco Bell or Walmart, let's give each other a high five, say hi, like just uplift each other, be there for each other. So as a quick recap, this is what I got. Number one, let's not be stupid or wicked. Amen? Number two, let us be righteous, always striving to lift one another up and encourage one another. Yeah? And so that number three, one day we will blast off from this planet to live in the mansion of the King. And that our example will reflect the truth of that King. So that's our goal and our hope and our prayer. And I got done just right on time. Let's pray. I don't want you to ask me any questions. Because I'm not Rob. Unless you want to just say something. Anybody want to say? Awesome. No, great. So we're going to pray and then we'll get out of here. Let me just ask one favor of you, please. Fellow Christians, people who follow the same Jesus that I follow, I'm asking if you would please pray for my sister. I met my little sister, Lacey, about 4 months ago for the first time. And 2 days ago, she was in an automobile accident. She broke 4 bones in her pelvis, almost all her ribs, a bone in her back, collapsed both lungs, her spleen was crushed, and it exploded. She's got all kinds of stitches in her head and stuff. She's in Texas, and I don't know her that well, but I just want her to know Jesus. I just want her to know the truth that I know, and I want her to get through this time. One of her kids was in the back. He's fine, so that's awesome. That's a huge thing. But if you could pray for her, her name is Lacey, and I just really appreciate it. It really means a lot to me. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for your words in Proverbs. I thank you for the bluntness of them. Just calling us out, Lord. Just don't be stupid. Lord, don't act wicked. Be righteous. And those are things that I think that we all kind of strive for, God. I know I do. But sometimes I'm not actively seeking them out. Sometimes I just get so caught up in my normal life every day, the same kind of things, the routine, that I forget that I'm called to be righteous, that I'm set apart. And sometimes I act stupid, God. Sometimes I might even act wicked. God, I pray that you would forgive me. I pray that you would forgive me for not always just uplifting the kid, but sometimes teasing them. Lord, help me to be an encourager, and help all of us to encourage better, to be able to let those insults just fall off our back, so that people will know that we're Christians, that we're not punks, Lord, but that we just are called to a higher standard, that our code is different than the rest of the world, that we know a truth that they don't see because they're seeing the world through these blinders. Father, I pray that we would be really good examples, and I believe wholeheartedly that we can do that if we are righteous, if we act right. I don't have this master, Lord. You know that better than anybody. And I just pray that as we continue on our journey, that you would sharpen us, that we would sharpen each other, Father, and get to that place where people know that we are Christians because of our love for each other and our love for you and how we love them. Help us be good neighbors. Help us be good friends.